Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now on the hotline is quarterback of the Patriots, Drake May. He's brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Get next day delivery with removal and disposable and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattress. Drake May, how are we doing today?
What's going on? You doing all right? Hanging in there?
Good. Glad to hear that. Let's go ahead and start with what was a tough loss yesterday. After the game, you talked about the cadence in the O-line and some of the penalties that were happening there. You answered another question about a miscommunication that maybe you had with Pop Douglas. Would you say right now that you're on the same page as the rest of the offense, the O-line, the wide receivers? Would you say you guys are on the same page today?
Yeah, I think, you know, yesterday was just some little focus things. And I think the big thing is the guys are getting in the right spots. I think we're moving the ball. I think when we hurt ourselves, it's tough. You know, like I said in my interview, you know, we're getting behind the eight ball and we're in first and 20 and second and 15. It's tough to pick up first downs in this league, and especially when we're hurting ourselves. So I don't think it's really anything that we're not on the same page. I just think it's, you know, a little focus or maybe mistakes or little things that just starting to drive off that we need to, you know, harp on and focus on. I think, you know, it's only will end up being positive for us.
Obviously, those first and 20s or third and 15s are physically challenging. You have to literally get more yards. Are they mentally challenging? Is there like a blow to your confidence early in games when you feel like you're kind of spinning your wheels and fighting this uphill battle?
I wouldn't say mentally challenging. I just think, you know that, you know, it's more frustrating knowing that we're hurting ourselves and they're not really doing anything to stop us. We're just more putting ourselves in bad spots and ends up costing us in, you know, points and moving the football and helping our defense out and keeps in the game.
Drake, what did you say to the team at halftime and what did Coach say?
Coach said, you know, pretty much the same thing I'm talking about. We're hurting ourselves on offense, on defense. You know, I think, they're two of us throwing the football well and they're just, they're hitting over the, you know, intermediate passes over the middle of what Coach was talking about. And on offense, we had a chance to get three and we hurt ourselves down there getting into the red zone. And then other than that, just like I said, just getting in first and being successful on first down is what kind of AVP preached and Mayo, and just said, hey, fight, you know, keep fighting and never know what can happen. So we had ourselves, you know, almost back in the ball game. So that was kind of, you know, good to see from the guys of and not quit.
This is going to sound like a harsh question, but I'm kind of just basing it on the numbers and the facts. Do you have a turnover problem? Are you turning the ball over too often?
As myself, you know, kind of Looking back and looking at the plays, I think so. I definitely think so that from the standpoint of turning the football over, you can't do that in this league. And right now, I would say it's a problem. I think most of my turnovers aren't really being careless, throwing the ball careless in the difficult spots. I think the tipped interception, I think that's a tough one. The fumble, obviously, you put the ball in harm's way of protecting the football, but I wouldn't say it's a problem.
Are you learning from them at the very least? Is there value in each of these tough lessons, hard lessons?
Yeah, man, I think I hope so. You try to learn from things when you lose and obviously not doing what you want to be get done.
We're talking with Drake May, quarterback of the Patriots. Drake, there were reports after the game that guys in the locker room were kind of loose, guys cracking jokes and things like that. Did you observe that, and do you think that your teammates hate losing as much as you do?
I can only speak for myself. I know it's frustrating when you're losing. I think it's kind of overblown. I think those guys are frustrated too. So I think you need to find a way to hopefully get a win and play hard these last five games.
Offensively, what do you think the identity of this team should be, and why are you maybe not achieving that? What is holding that back?
It's the same thing I'm talking about. Hurting ourselves, getting behind the sticks. I think when we don't hurt ourselves, we find a way to move the ball and put some points on the board. So that's the main gist of it.
As far as the offensive line is concerned, you were obviously running around a little bit more maybe than you wanted to. We've asked you, I feel like, a couple of times now about the offense and getting you some design runs or just ideas of, in the red zone, you getting around and using your feet a little bit more. Is that something that you've given any more thought to? Is that something that you and Alex have discussed any further?
No, sir. No, I'm just out there trying to the plays that are called, just trying to help the team and do the best and get us in and out of plays that help. And I think ABQ is doing a nice job of putting us in good spots. I think, as a football team and players out there, we, penalties and little things that turnovers from myself are hurting the football team.
Jerod Mayo has said that he knew this wasn't going to be easy and that there's a multi-year rebuild or whatever is going on here. And I'm just wondering from your perspective, I know you don't make these decisions, but would you like to get as many reps as possible with guys like Jalen Polk and Javon Baker and Jaheim Bell and the young guys that you came in with to maybe build a rapport that could pay off down the line?
I think that's kind of what practice is for. I think in game reps, I think the best players play. I think that's what this league is about. So I think, talking about the young guys, I think they're, doing the right things in practice and earning the right to play, then the best players will play. So I think that's really not my decision. I'm just happy with whoever out there wants to play hard and be in the right spot.
How was your week of practice last week? How would you characterize it?
I thought we've had some good weeks of practice, and I think the guys have been practicing hard, and that's what you want to see. So I think that's what we just can keep doing, keep going and don't lose, and don't lose sight of getting better and still finding some meaningful football of trying to get better, and you never know what can happen.
In terms of your leadership, we've talked a lot about that evolution and the kind of addressing the whole offense a couple weeks ago. How does that work with the defensive side of the ball? Do you apologize to those guys after turnovers? Do you interact with those guys much on the sideline or on the practice field? Are you interacting with the defense as well as the offense as a leader?
Yeah, I think you got to, as a quarterback. So just trying to hold myself accountable for mistakes where I'm giving them in short fields. And then other from that standpoint, just pumping them up. I think that's the best thing you can do with defensive guys. They like to see a little fire from the quarterback. So getting excited when good plays happen for them and just be there for them.
All right, it's time for the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. The question this week comes to us from Eric from Newton, and he wants to know, Drake, who is the toughest guy on the team?
Toughest guy on the team? Let me think about that. Toughest
Can't say
guy
yourself.
On the team. I think Jelani Tafai has shown it. I think he's really down through some injuries and put out there each and every week and playing his butt off. So I'd probably say Jelani, and offensively, I would say probably up front, probably Big Mike. I think Big Mike, battling different spots and playing different spots and not complaining, just going out there and playing ball. So probably those two.
Last night, you obviously brought up the comment about hating to lose more than you liking to win. Obviously, everybody loses in high school, college, or along the way. How does losing affect you? How do you deal with it? Are you a sore loser? Are you tough to be around? What's that like?
I think just learn from it. You know, I think just learn from the mistakes, and you know, I think nobody likes losing. So just find a way to, you know, kind of learn from it and kind of look myself in the mirror, and you know, see what I need to do better and how can I help this football team.
All right, it's Drake May. Thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate it, and good luck this weekend against the Colts.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Drake May, quarterback of the Patriots, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the Odyssey app. Just search for WEEI Afternoons. You can go back and go through all the chapters of the
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Show. That was Drake May with us earlier in the show. If you missed it, we ran it again. But if you missed it both times, you can check it out on the Odyssey app. Just look for WEEI Afternoons. And you can search through all the chapters of the show, including the Drake May interview, the Jonathan Jones interview, or any other segment that you may have liked. Also, I listened again. He ends by saying, no, it's not a problem, but he says it's a problem like two or three times before that.
Correct.
I think he says it's a problem.
He does talk quickly.
He talks quickly.
But I think he said that.
And I think he was being honest and then realized I probably should change this answer.
Not say
bit.
That I have a problem. Right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a problem.
And he said it was a problem before you said you wouldn't say it was a problem, which is weird.
Do you think it's a problem?
It's worth watching. Worth monitoring. I'm not sure it's a problem right now. If you made me list the Patriots' problems, Drake May's turnovers would be way down the list.
Okay, but how about Drake May's problems?
Oh, is that his biggest problem?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But maybe that's not the thing that's the reason why the team's 3-9, but if we're talking about the development of Drake May, it's a problem in his development, right? I mean,
No.
No, you'd say no.
It's his, yes, no, no, yes. It's his biggest problem right now, but I think it's an expected problem for virtually every rookie quarterback,
right.
Especially a guy who, if we lean into and not totally forget, there were questions about his experience and how much he's played and, you know, how he's going to transition to the NFL. So I find it hard to believe that a guy that shouldn't play for 2 years is going to play right away and not turn the ball over, right? So if there is some truth to Orlovsky's original comments that this is a guy that shouldn't play for 2 years. There's so much work to be done on him. Isn't it fair to say, well, he's playing in his first year, so there's probably going to be turnovers and mm-hmm. mistakes. And that it happens for every young quarterback, but
right.
also based on his, you know, makeup or skill set. So it is.
It's not happening to every rookie. Even this year, I mean, Nixon, Daniels have played in more games and have fewer turnovers
yes,
than him. So
that
I mean,
is true.
It's not every rookie quarterback.
And they're not done.
And they're not that young either. They're both
well, that's
like,
the other thing.
You know, they're not like young quarterbacks.
One guy played
like
2 years. One guy played. They both played five.
Right.
So he's like, you know, way behind
yeah,
them.
Daniels
in terms of
at Arizona State and Nick's just played. Yeah.
And they're also not done.
Mm-hmm.
I think rookie mistakes can come in bunches, can come in chunks, and then can go away. I also think we've said this ad nauseum, but they're in better situations. They both have offensive coaches with schemes that are far more storied and respected and
definitely.
Adored than him. They both have better players than him. Like, I watched that Terry McLaurin catch and run. It's like, oh, that'd be nice.
The end of that game was insane.
It was drunk, as the announcer said.
That was a wild, wild finish.
It was.
First of all, the Hail Mary, the touchdown, missing the extra point, and then the onside kick touchdown back the other way. A lot of bettors were, I think, throwing up as that was all going
the
on.
The Turpin spin move, video game-like spin move.
Unnecessary spin. Didn't have to
very
do that.
Weird. And also,
and just gone.
Could end the way it did, which is gone. I also think that could end with him dying.
Yeah, right.
Like, if there's a guy running down full speed and you spin into him and don't see him coming, you could die on a football field. So I wouldn't use that go to that move one too many times. But no, that was a ridiculous game. But the Terry McLaurin is better than anything they have. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's Cortland Sutton is better than anything they have. That's
yeah,
just
he's not great, but
he's better than anything they have.
It's true.
He'd
yeah.
be a one here. Mm-hmm. He's not a one, but he'd be your one. I feel like we say that about everybody.
Right. I still think they'd be 3-9 with Cortland Sutton on this team, but sure.
They might be.
Yeah.
But I feel like I watched it yesterday. Bo Nix throws it up to him. He goes up and gets it.
Yep.
I'm not sure you have that ability here. And then I watched. Sean Payton's put on a few, huh? He could use an awakened one.
And he still has a small head, so you really notice it. Like the small
he's getting
head,
the Belichickian kind of like broad chest, but he ran out on the field like all excited. I was like, whoa, a little thick, a little roundness to Sean Payton that didn't used to be there.
A little jiggle on the...
Yeah, a lot of jiggle. A lot of boobs. A lot of boobs jiggling there. But no, so are you worried about his turnovers? I want you on the record. You made... Brian's worried. He's nodding in the background. No one asked, but...
I am. I'm worried. I'm not freaking out, and I don't think that they should not make him their franchise quarterback or anything, but it is something that I worry about. It was a thing about him in college, and everyone has basically told me, and I was the only one with any misgivings about drafting him, but everybody told me, well, any problems that he has in his rookie year, he'll work them out.
Choked up talking
he's
about
not going to be a mistake repeater, right? I mean, that's the thing. He's not an error repeater. He's going to learn from his mistakes, and he's not going to do it all year, and by the time this time next year, with a different cast around him and whatever else, he's going to be a more mature quarterback. He won't turn the ball over as much.
Well,
and I don't know. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that he's not an error repeater.
I don't know that
I think we're seeing
he's...
him repeat some errors here. He's like not
what?
Taking good care of the ball.
Well,
when he sees the blitz bearing down on him and he's trying to still throw these lousy passes and not getting it out of bounds or not going down and taking a sack, like those are mistakes that he's made more than once.
If that ball doesn't get tipped and it gets to Antonio Gibson and he picks up 17 yards, aren't you praising him for hanging in there and making a play?
Sure.
But it didn't. I know it didn't. You don't have to. I know you. I can see you. I know you. It's only been a few months, but I'm starting to know you. I knew you were ready to pounce there.
All right.
But
if that's you give that me fine a, if line. Grandma had balls, she'd be grandpa hypothetical. What am I supposed to say?
But when was the last time he did that same mistake?
That same mistake?
Yeah. And that's where I think
the interception against Tennessee, I thought, was not good either. I mean, that's when he did on the sideline, right? Wasn't that the Tennessee game where he just lobbed it up there and they said, oh, no, it's got to be a tuba ball? Wasn't that in the Tennessee game?
Wasn't that the Bears game?
Maybe it was the Bears game. Well, whatever. He's done it before is
he's
the point.
But I think
also,
that's
in that game, he also had that fumble, which you said was his worst play of the season.
Which, this game?
In this game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
And that was another one where he could have gone down with it and taken better care of the ball.
He also had another fumble that was a forward pass. It was very close.
Right. Yeah,
he could have had a second fumble on
the could have. But you're asking, am I worried about it? Sure, I'm not going to ignore it.
Well, I'm not ignoring it, but I'm also not worried about it. He's a rookie quarterback on a crappy football
team. Sure, yeah.
Like, when I put those together, you know what I expect? Turnovers. Not a good-looking offense.
Mm-hmm.
Mistakes. Stress on him. And I think when they're talking about error repeater is reads and coverages and throwing to spots. Like, he just brought that up in our interview.
Right.
Like, I don't think I'm throwing into dumb spots. And I don't think he's done a lot of that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I don't think he's throwing the ball into team meetings, as you said.
Right.
Like, that's not what
like
he's done.
Zach Wilson stuff,
right.
I haven't
Mac
really
used
seen.
To do that. Like, he's not doing that.
Yeah. So... That's why I don't – do I want him to keep turning the ball over essentially twice a game? No, I do not. It's not sustainable. Don't do that. And we've already had the discussion. Bad Drake May is probably less personality Jameis Winston, right? Like making plays, doing crazy stuff, and then, and turning it over in the end and doing something dumb, right? Like that's what Jameis Winston was that year. He had like 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions or whatever. He balances it out.
Right.
I'm not at that point where I think he's going to be downside. I'm saying – six games really into his career, he's making some mistakes with bad football around him. But I haven't the Mac stuff. You brought up the Mac stuff. The Dallas, where he throws across the field, gets away with it
and
once,
then does it again.
And then does it again. Like, that's an error repeater. Right. You didn't. You touched the stove, you got burnt, and you said, I'm going to see if it's still hot,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Sure.
I haven't seen that from Drake.
Okay, that's fair. And I think that, in general, I'm not saying cut the guy, but you asked me, am I worried about it? If he wasn't doing it, I wouldn't worry about it. He is doing it, and he's doing it pretty much every week.
Do you think he's worried based on that answer?
Yeah. A little bit.
It was a weird answer.
The way,
so I'm
he,
not really
the way he switched up in the middle tells me, yeah, he thought, oh God, I shouldn't say I have a problem with turnovers. It's not going to make me look good.
But the first step to fixing a problem is admitting you having.
That's true. I would agree with that. 617-779-7937. To your phones we go. Pete's in the car. Hi, Pete.
Hello, gentlemen. How
Hello,
are you doing,
Pete? This evening? Doing well. How are you?
Doing well. So, terrific. You know, I was of the light of keeping Drake May on the bench. So I have to say I was wrong. Presently surprised about how he's playing. And I think you just have to let him play. What he's learning and doing now, making mistakes, is the cost of playing him early. So I wouldn't read too much into his turnovers this year. Plus, the team blows around him. So how many of them are on him versus how many of them versus pressing? I say the one thing I do see in him, which I think is surprising me, it is his ability to read. I don't worry about mechanics. I don't worry about, you know, one particular decision-making. You can see that the guy can run the huddle and can run the plays and can see the field pre and post snap, and that's huge. And so that makes me believe that you got to keep Alex Van Pelt for next year. The worst thing you can do with this guy now, other than not giving him any better players next year, is to make him change his system. Don't change his system. Let him continue to develop with Van Pelt for at least one more year.
All right, thanks for the call, Pete. I sort of agree with you in principle about the idea of consistency with offensive
yes.
coordinators. And we've already seen, just in recent history, Mac Jones go down in flames. Trevor Lawrence is kind of going down in flames. He's had different coordinators each year. May, even in college, had different coordinators from year to year, and he took a step down in his junior year, I thought. And, you know, listen, I mean, this is becoming sort of an issue in the NFL. Even Andy Dalton, back when he first started, he had a bunch of coordinators at the beginning of the year, and he, you know, he was a Pro Bowler once or twice, but never really got over the hump there. And maybe none of those guys are as good as Drake May. That's possible. But Drake May also does have a little bit of that bleep it, I'm going deep thing to him, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
he's got that gene, you know? And sometimes that can be great, but sometimes you can be Rex Grossman, you know, it's just that someone's down there somewhere and you just huck it up. I don't think he's there yet, as you said. He's not throwing into big crowds of people or anything, but this is three games with an interception at the end of the game that effectively ended the game when it was still within reach. So, you know, I mean, you tell me, like, I don't think that that's the end of the world. And as I've said many, many times, I was willing to accept the fact that he was going to make rookie mistakes. He's a rookie. But I'm not going to ignore them when they're happening on a weekly basis.
No, I'm not going to ignore them either, but I'm a ways away from being worried. I also think that guy you described, like that gene.
Yeah.
If you want the plays, you need the guy who grew up and kind of made the plays. And at some point, he has to sort of weed out the ones that can no longer be made, right?
Right.
Like, I think that's a transition. My guess is he did stuff in high school that when he got to North Carolina, he realized, oh, I can't really get away with that anymore.
Right.
And just like he did stuff at North Carolina that I think he'll evolve and say, I can't get away with that anymore because everybody on the field is too good, too fast, can cover too much space in the back end. But you also want a guy that tries to make those plays, that has confidence in himself and his teammates to make plays. That's where modern football is going.
Mm-hmm.
I think the trends are at least for this period of time, whether it goes back the other way at some point, like, you have to be willing to take some chances.
Yeah.
Now, the part about the coordinator I agree with, that's been a Brady thing for a while, the way you can ruin quarterbacks different ways, rush them onto the field, change systems and coaches too many times early. He talked a lot about it.
Yep.
One of his strengths was he was in the same offense the total time he was with the Patriots. Different guys, but like the same
running
basic
the same offense.
Offense.
Yeah.
If anything, it became a problem in the back end because no one else had been. And he's like 500 level classes when everybody else is 100 mm-hmm. level, and trying to marry it up didn't work. So some form or fashion, yes, I think Alex Van Pelt should be back next year. Can you middle it somehow by bringing another coach in and blending it? And could that work? I feel like it could.
Two offensive coordinators. Where have we heard this before? Ah, Patricia and Judge. Yeah, that
yes,
works
but
good.
Neither of them were actually offensive coordinators.
Right, true.
I'm talking about keeping Van Pelt, but bringing in a Stefanski or a
who would
Dable.
Want to come here and be a co-coordinator with
well,
Van Pelt, though?
I mean, Stefanski gets canned. He's going to be looking for work.
Yes, but
when
he'd want to be
canned,
in control of the thing himself without having Van Pelt the assistant,
that's why
right?
I said I don't know if it can work.
Yeah. I'm just playing it out. Like the guy, the Ben Johnsons of the world, and I don't think he'd be here for offensive coordinator, but like the hot names, the sexy offensive coordinator names,
yeah.
You're not necessarily going to be – it's not a great pitch to say, we really want you here, but we also have this good relationship between Van Pelt and Drake May, and we don't really want you to infringe on it that much, so you're going to call the plays and do things behind the scene, but it's really going to be Van Pelt's show. No good guy's going to want to be a part of that.
And it probably – even if a good guy wanted to be, it probably wouldn't work.
Right.
And that's – I understand that, but I also understand the logic of Drake has a guy he seems to like and trust. Don't rip that out from underneath him in the first year.
Yeah.
So however you because I also feel like if you just keep it status quo, Alex Van Pelt is the be-all, end-all HC of the offense, I feel like we'll be talking about firing him in a year or two.
I would agree with that. I think it's going to come down to what Drake wants, and they'll probably put it on him. They don't know.
That's not fair.
I know it's not fair, but that's the way it is. He's the future of the team.
Jesus,
he's
the main guy. On him.
Yeah. If I'm Mayo or Wolf or any of those guys, I'm sitting Drake May down and saying, listen, what do you really think about Alex Van Pelt? Do you think that this is your guy, or do you want some help, or what? I mean, I think
how
that
do you answer that question?
Honestly?
I'd feel like it was a Belichickian test to see if you're all in. Are you really a soldier? Are you like a –
there's like a two-way mirror.
Yes, Van Pelt's right there. I wouldn't know how to answer that. I would hate that.
You don't think you should have any input in what happens with the offensive
coaching
staff?
Not to that level. I feel like you need to
– Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's just hiring
and
firing people every day.
And it doesn't work.
It's true.
And I feel like, yes, in your exit interview at the end of the year, you have to try to have an honest conversation without asking him questions.
Because he's not going to come to them and say, we've got to get rid of this
guy.
No,
and I don't think you should even ask. It should be more like, so what's your relationship with Alex like?
Yeah.
How did it compare to previous relationships with, who's that guy, Bob Christensen? If you needed something different, what do you feel like you need to maximize your ask those questions without saying, hey, you want Alex back or you want me to can him right now? I'll do it. I'll go down the hall and can him right now. You just say the word. That's not fair to him.
I got a box right here.
Right.
David is in the car. Go ahead, David.
David.
I'm Drake May. Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Hi, David.
Hello.
How you doing?
You good?
Yes. Hello.
Good, good. How you guys doing?
Terrific.
So I'm Drake May. So it is repetitive mistakes, which it is a concern. The one thing I say about Drake May that needs to be taught to him is he needs to be taught to be a pocket quarterback. I think the scrambling, we know he can do it. You know, what made Brady survive all those years, become as great as he did, is he played the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't have any other option.
Right, because he couldn't run.
But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
What about Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and all these guys that win?
Aside of Patrick Mahomes, how many Super Bowls do those guys have?
So you're telling me those guys aren't good? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not saying they're not good. I'm saying is Drake May, the New England style of football, and Drake May needs to learn how to play the pocket. You focus more.
Yeah. David, listen.
How to read defense.
David, listen. Yeah. I sort of agree with you. The only problem is he doesn't have a pocket because the pocket breaks down on every play. It's hard to make a guy be a pocket passer when there's no pocket for him to
jailbreak
out of. Yeah,
he's
on the run. He's running
for
his life.
That's the biggest issue. Hey, one more thing, real quick. I think Gerard Mayo wants out.
Wants out?
Really?
Why do you say that?
I think so. I the way his comments, the way he comments on things. I think he wants out. I would not be surprised.
Interesting.
I'm reading into it.
Thanks for the call, David.
You certainly
appreciate
are.
It. Sounds like it. Yeah,
I love it. I love the aggressive reading between the lines. I don't agree with it.
I wouldn't be surprised if he felt like that. Like, man, I am in over my head.
Yeah,
maybe.
But sometimes
if he wants out, that's different. Like that's saying, I want you to move on from me because I have another. Like he's Montgomery; he's got another job lined up.
No,
I don't think there's a lot of teams looking at Gerard Mayo and the job he's doing this year and thinking we got to get this guy in.
No, you
or
don't.
That he'll have. You know, like what's he doing?
If you go one and done, you're going to go down as one of the worst head coaches in the history of the league.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. Now, what I could see is him saying, I cannot wait for the season to be over so I can change X, Y, and Z, improve this, like build towards the future. I don't think he wants out. Especially, go back and listen on your Odyssey app to the Greg Hill Show interview with Gerard Mayo this morning. The way he ended in sort of an upbeat, jocular fashion when Greg was kind of somber and he's like, there's nothing to be like. You guys ask me questions. I'm going to get better from this. I'm going to get better for I actually thought he ended on a very confident, upbeat tone this morning.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think he wants out at all.
He's not going to be one of the worst either. Chip Kelly exists. He was a one and done with two wins in San Francisco. Lovie Smith had that really bad.
Oh, there's others.
I was reading about one and done's the other day. So.
But
you know,
people will bring
examples.
Him up.
Yeah.
If he finishes with three wins and he gets fired, and they'll add the narrative. Robert Kraft made a decision on a trip to Israel 5 years earlier, and it was a decision everyone regretted.
It's true.
He'll be back.
Urban Meyer's another one.
Yeah, but that's a little different, too.
That was pretty bad.
That involved idiocy, and he was grinding that woman on the at the bar and like didn't go back with his team. He did that stupid thing where he took part in a freaking wrestling pay-per-view or whatever.
I don't remember that.
Oh, my God.
I remember him and the girl in the bar, but I don't remember.
No, because they own AEW, the other wrestling promotion.
Urban Meyer owns the Cons. Okay.
The family that owns the Jaguars.
Right.
And they were in Jacksonville, and like two wrestlers like barge into his office, and he like hits one with a laptop. Like he was part of the show.
Wow.
Yeah, look it up, Brian. I'm telling you, it happened.
I don't remember that at all. All right. Well, there you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We have odds and ends coming up right after this. Odds and ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That is Cars with a K and the number 4. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, we have a few minutes left, and we neglected something. Something very important that we do every Monday.
Host won my ass.
It was my fault this time, although you didn't remember it either. It's time for our weekly look at football's league leaders and who's circling the drain. Presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Who is leading the league, Andy?
This is an easy one for anybody who watched last night. Saquon Barkley, as teammate A.J. Brown said, maybe the best player in the world right now of football. He leads the NFL with 223 carries, leads the NFL with 1,392 yards, already a career high. This guy's a pretty good running back with the Giants, already has a career high, and he's got six games left. Leads the league with a 6.2 yards per rush. In the NFL, he leads the league with 126 rushing yards per game. He averages 126 rushing yards per game. In the last two games, he has 500 total yards.
255 with two touchdowns. He had 240-something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Last game. Yeah.
Like, the dude is a machine. He's got the highlights. He's got the – he'll give you the tough yards. He'll hurdle your butt backwards. He'll go down the he can do anything.
Yeah.
I agree. And you remember those when he was coming out, all those, like – remember he would, like, squat, like, 8 billion
yes.
pounds?
Yes,
and,
yes,
like,
yes.
He's got the quads. He's just – and correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody's got any skeletons for him. Seems like a nice dude. Seems like a good dude.
I don't know about anything with him.
No baggage,
yeah.
Anything. He's a pretty good player.
Yeah,
he's leading the league in everything, and he's going to win the Offensive Player of the Year, and he's going to win me a boatload of money on my FanDuel.
There you go. I will say this. Over the course of time, like in my lifetime, there's always been like two or three running backs every decade or so that you just look at and you're like, this guy's unbelievable. Like Barry Sanders, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson was one of those guys. Adrian Peterson in his first couple of years. Guys who were just, you look at him and you're like, holy crap, this guy's unbelievable.
Right.
Priest Holmes when he went to the Chiefs. Like, you know, but he's almost, I don't know, he's definitely on that level right now in the season that he's having and the way it's sort of evolved over time. But he's doing things this year that I've never seen before. Like every other game, he has two touchdowns where he gets through the line and there's no one near him.
Yeah, no.
And he just blows past everybody. The guys in the secondary can't catch him. No one's even close.
He's benefiting from the team he's on. Great offensive line, a lot of talent around him with the receivers, the quarterback. It's why as soon as I saw him here, yeah, and this is really what happened. I saw him on the practice field here, and I kind of realized where he'd landed. And I was like, my God, I ran to my FanDuel app and I put in the bet for Offensive Player of the Year that day because it's such a perfect fit for him. And the difference is those guys, I don't believe any of those guys changed teams in the prime of their career. Nice job, Giants.
Holmes did. Holmes was on the Ravens and then he went to the Chiefs.
Did he?
Yeah.
In the prime of his career?
I think so. Maybe it wasn't the prime of his career. I know he was on the Ravens first.
I just think if I'm a Giants fan.
And then went to Kansas City after that.
That's a fireable offense. I got to watch this guy on a division rival.
Yeah.
He might win the Super Bowl with a division rival.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Looking that way. Speaking of the Giants, who's circling the drain? How about New York football in general? And, oh, wow, couldn't have happened to a nicer city. Isn't that right? And I say New York. This is really the New Jersey teams because the one team that actually plays in New York, the Buffalo Bills, is pretty good. They're a pretty good team. But your New York Giants and your New York Jets in shambles right now, and I'm here for it, I got to say. I feel bad about Danny Dimes and what happened to him. L. Duncan going buck wild on ESPN and getting everybody all mad at her, which I thought was
mad at her.
People were big mad at L. Nicole Duncan.
Wow.
Like, she was saying things that none of them have ever said before. None of these Giants fans ever said. You frauds. Come on. Over here with the Jets, Aaron Rodgers may not finish the season. They may cut him before 2025. Tremendous. I mean, just tremendous theater here from these awful teams. By the way, Tommy DeVito made his 2024-25 debut, and it did not go well for the New York Giants. They got absolutely thumped by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which led to a pretty funny exchange because there was a run. Baker Mayfield took off out of the pocket, got into the end zone, and started doing the Italian fingers, yeah. You know, that over here, that thing. But he was doing it like really fat,
oh, yeah.
You know, like really, really into it. And a reporter afterwards asked him about it and asked if he was Italian. So, go ahead, Stish.
Kind of a whirling derby leap there in the end zone. And then I guess it was the DeVito celebration. Is that
tribute. What? Tribute to Tommy, yeah. He's a good dude. He's got swag.
Yeah, who came up with that?
Oh, I have no idea. I just see him do it.
No, but whose idea was it for you to do that? And when did you know you were going to do it?
Most of the times I don't know what I'm going to do, so... there's spontaneous stuff.
That was just spontaneous? That was not planned? I mean, even your teammates got into it, too.
Yeah, you know, New York fans love Tommy here and give him something they like.
Are you Italian by any chance or no?
I haven't done a 23andMe, but I don't know.
You know he's not Italian. You know why? Because if he was, he would have been like, hey, what's with all the questions over here? Hey, come on. Hey, what's going on? Yeah, listen, I mean, come on. I'm Italian. I can say that.
That lady sounds miserable.
What is her problem?
Oh,
lay off.
Gosh,
oh, and your teammates were doing it, too. Are you even Italian? Or cultural appropriation? Like, relax, lady. It's not that deep.
It's not that
you know,
big a deal, lady.
He was
but she's
the,
trying to trap
the fingers.
Him. She's trying to get, you know what I mean? It's that cancel culture BS.
I don't know exactly what that was. Maybe it was.
She was taking the fun out of a fun moment. I can tell you that much.
That's true.
I don't
think
the fun out
I don't
it.
Think Baker Mayfield's Italian. I don't know a lot of regions in Italy where Mayfield is one of the names that they have out there. But you never know. I mean, hey, anything's possible. You get that 23andMe back. Sometimes you find out things you didn't know about.
It's a good
family.
Ad for them, right?
Absolutely.
Although I've never done one of those because I'm like a conspiracy theorist with those. I think they track you.
What do you mean?
You mailed your poop, Andy. We've been over this.
I know, but I don't trust those genetic testings. Now they know my whole genetic breakdown. So when they start cleansing the earth or looking for certain things or wiping out certain things, they know exactly who to target. Now me, all they have is my poop.
You sent your poop?
I had to.
I thought you were supposed to, like, swab your saliva and give it to him. You're supposed to poop.
No. It's a totally different thing. No, totally different thing.
That was not clear. You made it sound
Sorry.
Like you said poop.
He brought it up.
He's deathly afraid of colonoscopies, Arkan.
I didn't want to get a colonoscopy, so you can avoid it by getting that. You've never seen the little box commercial? The guy runs around in the yard, and, like, that's what you put your poop in, and you send it to him, and they tell you probably don't have cancer.
Oh.
It's not quite as accurate.
You can do that instead of getting the
yes.
colonoscopy. Okay.
Oh, now you're interested, aren't you?
Well, I didn't know that that's what it was.
It's a disgusting thing to do, I'll tell you that much.
Really? Pooping in a little cup?
There's a whole setup. Like you have to like set up on your toilet, and then there's clamps and this and that, and you got to get it in the mail. You got to set up a delivery, a pickup, and it smells awful. Well,
sounds,
I mean,
like going to the,
anyway.
Sounds like going to the gynecologist.
Dan Ball said you got catfished. Imagine the whole operation was fake, and it was just like
right.
some guy that was trying to get your poop.
I mean, some gross dude who's just got like a whole bunch of vials of poop in like
his
basement.
He's a big Andy Hart fan.
They don't have my DNA, so they can't wipe me out when they start doing some
DNA
sort of cleansing.
Is in
There's
your...
DNA in your poop. What are you talking about? Of course they do.
I don't think they do.
Of course they do.
No.
Yes, they do.
We've
what
been
are you
over
talking
this.
About?
He refuses to believe it.
Anything that was in your body has your DNA on it. That's 100%.
Pause.
That's true. It's not pause. That's science. You know how, like, when the FBI was searching for that guy of the South Dakota or whatever, they went to his house and they found a bunch of old tissues with snot in them.
Is this real?
And they got his DNA from the snot. Yes, it's real. They get a whole DNA profile from that stuff. If you sent your poop to somebody, that group or person or weird guy in his basement has got your DNA for sure, 100%.
Pause.
Now I might as well just do 23andMe and find out what my ethnic breakdown is.
Might as well. Just send them some leftover.
See if I can do the celebration, too.
Yeah.
Why not? I can.
That's all right. It's not even that good. The only time that celebration was ever really used well was Gallinari on the Nuggets. He hit a three, and then he blew a kiss to the sideline, and everybody on the sideline was doing this. That was the best usage of it. And he's actually off Italy Italian, you know, not Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets out there in New Jersey. Either way, it's been a rough couple of weeks for football in New York. And I love it. I just love it. I'll tell you what else I love. I love Mego and Fitzy, who will take you up until Monday Night Football right here on WEEI. Don't go anywhere. You have them until about 7:30. And then it's a pretty good game tonight. I think one of the best games of the whole season. The Baltimore Ravens, the L.A. Chargers. That's right here on WEEI. Keep it here all night. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on Boston Sports Original. Have a good night, everybody. Bye.
See ya.
The greatest show ever.